You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We return here after a dominant win by the Baltimore Ravens in week six by the final score of 34-6. The Ravens coming out on top. They moved to 5-1. They remain on top in the AFC North. And there are plenty of things to talk about in this game. As if you were to pick a game in these first 6 weeks of the 2021 season to say, hey, this is going to be the game where the Ravens blow out a team, it most likely wouldn't have been against the Los Angeles Chargers, just considering how good of a team they are on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. But the Ravens showed up to play on Sunday. They win in, again, just dominant fashion overall. They played great football in all three phases, offense, defense, special teams as well. It wasn't perfect. There were some issues, but not really a ton. You know, this was really a positive performance by all three units, and I'm overall really happy just based off of what everything did and how everything went for this Baltimore Ravens team. This was a game that a lot of people either expected the Ravens to lose or win very narrowly. And the Ravens win the game, but they win it in very, you know, it's exciting fashion because the team ends up dominating. But it was a nice game to kind of sit back and say, hey, this Ravens team has got it the whole way. So in the first segment, we'll just talk about the offense and how they performed against this Chargers defense. In the second segment, we'll flip that field, talk about the Ravens defense and how they were able to hold Justin Herbert in that Los Angeles offense to just 6 points. And then finally, in the third segment, we'll get into some positives and some negatives, just generally, just how this team has performed and what's up next for the Baltimore Ravens. So before we do all that, if you are following along with us on YouTube, I did get a haircut. So if you want to see my haircut and everything, you know, my face and my background and everything, if you're following along with us in audio form, we are on YouTube 5 days a week. Same thing as an audio form. If you do enjoy the content, be sure to like and subscribe to the channel. Also, thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. Also, if you're following along with us in that audio form, be sure to follow the show, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get the show in audio form. Our content comes out Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. And also, you can find me on Twitter at ChaosSugar34. Be sure to follow me on there. And the Locked On Ravens Twitter account for episode updates is at Locked On Ravens. So let's dive into this game. Again, 34-6, the Ravens end up coming out on top against the Los Angeles Chargers. Dominant is the word we'll use here today. That's the word of the day. It's dominant here, as on Sunday, Baltimore came to play and the Chargers, you know, simply did not. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, let's start there. And it seems like every week we have to start with Lamar Jackson, right? He is the guy that makes the wheels turn for this Ravens offense, but he didn't have to do as much in this game. Pulling up the stats here, he finished 19 of 27 for 167 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, also had eight carries for 51 yards on the ground, so averaging about 6.4 yards per carry. So, you know, you see the 167 yards passing and you see the two interceptions and just the one touchdown, and people take that pure box score statistic and they say, Lamar Jackson did not have a good game on Sunday. Well, let me raise you something and say that Lamar Jackson did, in fact, have a good game. Now, again, wasn't perfect. There were a couple of throws that were either a bit overthrown, maybe a bit underthrown. You also saw the interception where Lamar Jackson, you know, he admitted he didn't see the linebacker drop back. He wanted to get the ball to Rashad Bateman, who we'll talk about in a few minutes here. But he just didn't see the linebacker, and he did joke after. He's like, yeah, I threw it right to him. You know, that's pretty much what he said. So he didn't see the linebacker. You know, that's on him definitely. But overall, I'd say a pretty solid day. He got the ball to the players he needed to get the ball to. Did it in really nice fashion. Wasn't hesitating as much. He did do the jump pass a couple times. We did see the jump pass a couple times. But I was overall impressed. You know, it's not 442 yards passing and four touchdowns, no interceptions. But the great thing about this Ravens team is that Lamar Jackson doesn't have to do that every week in order to get the Ravens a victory. This was much like we saw in 2019 and kind of towards the end of the 2020 year as well, where the Ravens just relied on their run game. And this was a huge game for the run game in terms of trying to get on track. Because as we know, and as we've seen over these last, you know, week three, week four, week five, teams were keying in on the run game and were having a bit of success stopping it, to the point where Jackson kind of had to go super sane mode, or whatever you want to call it, beast mode. and throw the ball a lot. Now, that's not saying Jackson can't do it on a week-to-week basis. I mean, he's literally shown that he can do it. This isn't a thing where it's just now becoming, oh, hey, Lamar Jackson can throw. He's been doing it for a long time. But in this game, as we've seen, the Ravens have been throwing the ball more than running it for the most part. But in this game, Lamar Jackson throws 27 passes. The team ends up running the ball 38 times. If you want to take out the a couple of quarterback kneels in there, you can do that. But I'm saying 38 because that's what it says on the box score. But, you know, the Ravens run the ball a ton in this one. And instead of averaging 3.4 yards per carry like last week, they averaged 4.9 yards per carry this week, led by Devonta Freeman, 9 carries for 53 yards. I mentioned Jackson and his 8 carries for 51 yards. Latavius Murray, 9 for 44. Le'Veon Bell, 8 for 18. Devin Duvernay, 1 for 11. And Tyler Huntley, 3 for 10. So overall, it was a balanced effort. I mean, no player had above 9 carries. It was Freeman and Murray with 9 and Jackson and Bell with 8. All three active running backs scored a touchdown. Devonta Freeman, Latavius Murray, and Le'Veon Bell. That was a really nice sight to see because, you know, for fantasy purposes, it's terrible, right? You know, you want the one guy scoring or you want to have your player score the most touchdowns. And especially for Jackson, who kind of had, I guess, those touchdowns vultured from him just in case of throwing it in the end zone, running it in the end zone, whatever. But it was nice to see the running backs really get into a groove. Le'Veon Bell had some nice runs. Latavius Murray looked well before he ended up leaving with an injury. Devonta Freeman, it was like the Devonta Freeman revenge arc out there. He's been getting a lot of flack. You know, people are saying he's only good in the pass game, but he had a couple of nice runs in the Ravens' week 6 win against Los Angeles that I was very impressed with. Now, that meant that Tyson Williams wasn't active. Williams did not play in this one. So, you know, John Harbaugh did make it a point to include Tyson Williams in his post-game quote about the running backs and saying that he's learning from these guys. And so this isn't the end of Tyson Williams. We did talk about this when he was inactive during the week 4 game against Denver. You know, Tyson Williams is going to be back in there, and depending on how much time Murray misses, you know, he has a prime opportunity to go up and get some carries in this Ravens offense. But I was impressed with the running backs in this one. The wide receivers, they had a day. You know, they did perform pretty well, and I'm going to say pass catchers, not just wide receivers. Mark Andrews led this team, 5 carries for 68 yards and a score. Marquise Brown, 4 for 35. And no touchdowns. Rashad Bateman in his NFL debut, 4 for 29. All 4 of his catches went for first down. So he is the chain mover, the professional chain mover, as I called him on Twitter. Devin Duvernay, 2 for 15. Latavius Murray, 2 for 12. Miles Boykin, 1 for 6. And Josh Oliver, 1 for 2. Jackson actually didn't place a ball where James Prochet was running. And Prochet wasn't able to hold the football in. It was a bad throw by Jackson. Prochet was wide open. He would have maybe scored, but he was open for a huge, huge game. But overall, the receivers played pretty well. Now, there were a couple of mistakes, one by Marquise Brown, one by Rashad Bateman. Now, Marquise Brown had a drop in the end zone. The ball was a little bit out in front of him, but it's still a catch that Marquise Brown needs to make. It's kind of like going back to Detroit and talking about that ball that was tipped. It was a hard catch for Marquise Brown, but still, number one receivers are expected to make that type of catch. So overall, those types of catches, the ones that are just a little bit out in front and glance off the hands, you know, you look at players like DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams and whoever you want to put in that wide receiver one conversation, those plays are getting made by those receivers. So that's the next step for Marquise Brown in his evolution as a football player. It's just getting his hands on those footballs and securing them. That's a huge step for him, but you know, he's still played well throughout this season. Bateman had a really bad drop on a ball that hit him right in the chest. The ball bounces up, and a pretty nice play was made by a Chargers defender on that ball to give Jackson a second interception of the day. So again, looking at box score stats, you see Jackson has the 2 interceptions, but then, you know, you actually look at the game tape and the game film and you see, oh, that wasn't Jackson's fault at all. It was a really good throw. But it looked like Bateman was getting involved early and often in this one. It took him a little bit to get going, but it seemed like he was gaining confidence throughout the entire game. And overall, he had 6 targets. He was tied for the team leading targets with Mark Andrews. So Jackson was definitely looking his way, and that's something that'll be really good moving forward, especially depending on how long Sammy Watkins is out in this one. And finally, looking at the offensive line played decently well. Now, the first quarter, I thought they played phenomenal football. They were great in pass protection, really good in the run game. The second quarter was like a complete 180. We saw Alejandro Villanueva get beat off the edge. Patrick McCurry got beat off the edge as well. So that was a bit of a down jump in terms of their production. But I thought then they recovered nicely in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter. And the Ravens splits in terms of how they scored 7 points in the first quarter, 10 in the second, 10 in the third, and 7 in the fourth. And looking at a couple of team stats, the Ravens went 6-for-11 on third down. They had 327 total yards on 11 drives, averaged 4.8 yards per play. They did have two penalties for 15 yards throughout the entire game, you know, both offense and defense and special teams, the entire team did, but they were 4-for-5 in the red zone. The two turnovers, they did lose a turnover battle, but let's talk about the time of possession battle. The Ravens, 38 minutes and 7 seconds. The Chargers, 21 minutes and 53 seconds. And if you follow me here on Locked On Ravens, you know my theory is when the Ravens win the time of possession battle, they almost always win the football game. And that was true in this game against the Chargers in week 6. So a statement win by this team. The offense made a statement, but the defense made a statement of their own. And we're going to talk about that statement that they made when we get back from our first break. So stay tuned for that. And we will be back soon. But does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We return here. It's our second segment of this Locked On Ravens Victory Monday edition episode here after week 6. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about the offense, the Baltimore offense, and how they were able to put up a ton of points against that Los Angeles defense. But now let's flip the field and talk a bit about that Ravens defense against the Los Angeles offense, because what a performance this was by the Ravens defense. Now, I kind of talked about in the opening of the show how if you were to pinpoint a game where you would have said, hey, the Ravens are going to blow out a team, it probably wouldn't have been the Chargers. Well, if you want to look at that from a defensive perspective, if you had to pinpoint a game in these first 6 weeks where you would have said, hey, the Ravens defense is going to dominate in a game, it probably wouldn't be Los Angeles, considering you have a guy like Justin Herbert on that offense, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. You have a bunch of talented playmakers on that side of the ball for them. But I do want to point out the fact, and this is where I'll start, that with Herbert in particular, looking at his stats overall, he finished 22-39, 195 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Deshaun Elliott nabbed his first interception of his NFL career. So congratulations to Deshaun Elliott. It's been a long time coming for him. He was a Ball Hawk at the University of Texas, and you know he's been looking for one for a while, I feel like. So congratulations to him. But the whole thing with Herbert is this was his first time playing up against this Baltimore defense, which is very complex to get a grip of. First of all, for the players on the defense, right? If you go back to Earl Thomas and what Earl Thomas was saying during his time in Baltimore and what we saw from him, he was having some troubles picking up the defense. You know, Seattle ran a more simplistic defense. Baltimore is very complex. So it's a complex defense just for the players to learn. But in turn, when going up against the defense, they're going to give you looks that you've never seen before. They're going to send guys to the line. They're going to put all these guys in the box. One play, they'll blitz all of them. The next, they'll drop all but three or four. So for young quarterbacks who have never seen that before, who have never gone up against the Baltimore defense, it can be a tough go their first time around. Let's go back to Cincinnati, week 5, 2020, when Joe Burrow came to M&T Bank Stadium. And what happened in that game? It was Joe Burrow's worst game as a professional at that point. It was really overall just a pretty rough game for him. The Ravens sacked Burrow 7 times. Now, I'm not going to write home about the Cincinnati offensive line, right? The offensive line had a ton of issues in that game. But for Burrow, you know, they were confusing him and doing a bunch of different stuff. And for Herbert, it felt like the same thing was happening, where you get a young quarterback, you know, he's playing really well. You know, credit to Justin Herbert. He's playing really, really well this season, but going up against the defense, and this defense, I think, was hungry for a performance like they had in this one. They limited the Chargers to just 4.4 yards per pass, 2.2 yards per rush. I mean, this was an overall, let's go back to the word of the day here. It's dominant, the dominant performance of this Baltimore defense. The secondary played really well. I thought Anthony Averett had a nice bounce back game, you know, got beaten on a couple of plays, but you know, nobody's perfect at the NFL level. Marlon Humphrey, I thought, had a nice game. Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark performed well as that safety duo. In August, I tweeted about Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark. And again, I got a lot of flack for it, saying they were going to be one of the best safety duos in the NFL. So I like to think I was right on that one, at least so far. So a good game from Elliott, a good game from Clark. The defensive line played well also. I mean, the Chargers couldn't really get a ton going on the ground. And that in turn made the Chargers offense a bit one-dimensional in what they were doing. And that was a really good thing for the Ravens because they could sit back and kind of focus on one thing. And Herbert, on the other hand, didn't have the run game to really go to. I mean, when looking at the splits, I mentioned Herbert threw the ball 39 times. The Chargers only ran the ball 12 times as a team. Herbert led the team in rushing with 2 carries for 12 yards. Austin Eckler, 6 carries for 7 yards. And Joshua Kelly, 4 for 7. So the running backs were not getting anything going. If you take away Herbert and his 2 rushes for 12 yards, the Ravens had Eckler at 1.2 yards per carry, and they had Kelly at 1.8 yards per carry. That's phenomenal. But we've seen that out of this run defense before with Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams and all those guys. So, I mean, it's so fun to watch this defense fly around on the field. In terms of the actual receivers, Keenan Allen had 5 for 50, Eckler 4 for 48, Mike Williams 2 for 27. He got a bit banged up in this one. And then you have Jared Cook, 4 for 25, Jalen Guyton 1 for 15, and it kind of goes down the list from there. Donald Parham Jr., 2 for 10. So this team, this defense, when looking at the actual stats, Anthony Averett and Josh Bynes tied for the team lead in tackles with 6 each. Chuck Clark then had 5. Brandon Stevens, Calais Campbell, Malik Harrison each had 4. And then the list continues from there. Justin Houston picked up his 99.5 career sack, or 99.5, however that works, career sack. He's 0.5 away from breaking the 100 sack career threshold. So hopefully he's able to get that next week against Joe Burrow and that Cincinnati offensive line I just talked about there, although they are a bit improved. We'll talk about that in the final segment. Other than that, Deshaun Elliott had a sack in this one. So, I mean, Elliott and Clark, I've been so impressed with how these two have played throughout the entire season. Elliott has obviously missed a couple weeks. This was his first game back in a couple weeks, but still, he's flying around the field. He's still very physically imposing, but I think he's improved in coverage, which I've really liked from him. And Clark has been the Swiss Army knife for this defense, playing all over the field, being the communicator, very smart football player, high football IQ. And Elliott and Clark play very, very well off of each other and just what they're able to do on the field together, right? When they're playing off of one of another and being able to be on the field together, that's where I think they are at their best. But looking at some of the team stats for Los Angeles on the offensive side of the ball, and I mean, this goes for the Ravens and what they gave up on defense, the Chargers went just 3 of 12 on third down. That's great. You know, the Ravens' third down defense has been very up and down this season, but it was great to see them hold the Chargers at 3 of 12 on third down. And you want to talk about third down? Well, let's talk about fourth down, as the Chargers went 1 of 4 on third down in this game. They were aggressive. They were going for it by their own 20, by their own 30. And this was after the Ravens had gotten up. So I think Brandon Staley was starting to feel the pressure of just how well the Ravens were moving the ball on offense. And from that, he started saying to himself, if we give the ball back to the Ravens, they're going to score again, and we are going to be in an even bigger hole. So the Chargers, what do? They go for it twice deep in their own territory. They throw up Marlon Humphrey both times, which, like, okay, that's probably not your best bet, but whatever you want to do. It gave the Ravens the ball back, so I wasn't complaining. But that's where the Ravens really tightened up. And they were short fourth down situations. And, you know, it wasn't like your fourth in inches where you had to kind of buckle up and stop the run. But the Chargers threw in both situations, and both times Marlon Humphrey came up with a play. So the third down defense, the fourth down defense, very, very good by this Baltimore Ravens team. And pulling the stats back up here, the Chargers had just 208 total yards of offense. Again, I mentioned that they had 4.4 yards per pass, 2.2 yards per rush, 3.9 yards per play total compared to Baltimore, who averaged 4.8. I'd say that's a pretty big difference. You know, 0.9 yards at the NFL level per play is a decently big difference overall. Rushing, again, I mentioned, just 26 total yards on the ground. The Chargers had 4 penalties for 35 yards as a team. The 1 turnover, we talked about the time of possession battle as well. The Ravens defense was very fresh coming out onto the field every single time they went out on the field because of the way that the offense played. And this felt like the most Ravens win, right? If you want to put like Ravens win in quotation marks, this is what that win felt like, because the defense felt like it was fresh each time they stepped on the field. The Ravens were taking 7, 8, 9 minutes off the clock with each of their drives, with their methodical run offense, their passing situational football there. And this was the game that I think might have turned the corner for this team. Now, obviously, they have to respond. It's 1-0 every single week. You can't get too hung up on a win or too hung up on a loss or a tie, if you're into that kind of thing, on every single week that you play the football game. You know, you celebrate your win, or you grieve the loss, or you feel indifferent about a tie, and then you go back to work the next day and you figure out how you're going to beat the team you're playing next week. So for the Ravens, that's the Cincinnati Bengals. But this Ravens defense, they made a statement. I talked about the offensive statement And this defense made a statement too that says, you know, they're not going to be defined by their injuries and their losses. This team is missing Marcus Peters, right? There's no ifs, ands, or but about it. It's a very commonly known fact that this team is missing Marcus Peters. And they should be missing Marcus Peters. He's a big part of what they do on defense. But it's the players who are stepping up, who can bounce back from bad performances. Patrick Queen got injured in this one, but he was having more of a bounce back performance. You know, he did not look as lost at times. And I give that a bunch of credit to Queen himself. I give credit to Josh Bynes, and I give credit to the coaching staff, because putting Bynes next to Queen, I think, simplifies things for him. And I've talked about on this show and in articles for Ravens Wire and even on Twitter about how I think putting a veteran next to Patrick Queen would help him. And they did that. And I think we saw what that can do for a player like Patrick Queen. And that's no shade on Malik Harrison, but I think that two young players playing off of each other right now who just don't have a ton of NFL experience, are still learning on the fly, it just helps to have a veteran next to them. It's not, you know, shading one of the guy's talents. It's just saying that in a situation where they're still learning the game of football, where they're still so young, it helps to have a guy who has the NFL experience and can mentor guys like that. And on the field, can be trusted to do things a little bit more than a younger player who might not know what to do here, might not know what to do there. Whereas for a veteran, they know. They've been on the football field, and Josh Bynes, I think, is that guy. Now, are they going to bring in another inside linebacker? I think if they feel like Bynes is the guy, they don't have to, because Bynes can do that for them and be the veteran presence that they need at that position. But again, a very solid all-around game. The Ravens are not going to be defined by their injuries. The pass defense against a very potent and lethal passing offense with Herbert and Allen and Williams, et cetera, stepped up to the plate. The run defense made the Chargers offense one-dimensional, and I was very, very impressed with what this team brought to the table on Sunday against the Los Angeles Chargers. We're going to head into our final break now, though. When we get back, we're going to be diving in to the Ravens and just what their season has been like again through these first 6 weeks and what's ahead for them in week 7. So stay tuned for that, and we will be back soon. But did you know that Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever? What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, almond, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. You can order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. So go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15, and you can get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron. Teams are back on for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. We are back here, our final segment of this Victory Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we talked about the Ravens offense and the Ravens defense in their week 6 win, 34-6 against the Los Angeles Chargers. But this game in particular, just looking back on how this Ravens year has been for them, I think this was a long time coming. We've known a lot about how this team can sometimes play down to competition and how sometimes they don't take, you know, it seems like they don't take opponents seriously, which I don't think ever is the case, but some people feel like that's the case sometimes. This team hasn't really gone through that a lot during the Lamar Jackson era. That was more like the Joe Flacco-ish era. Now, we've seen it in the Lamar Jackson era, but for example, Detroit or Indianapolis this season, it feels like those are games where the Ravens could have easily beat those teams by 30, maybe 40 points. But at the same time, those teams coming out are hungry, and those teams come out and they want to beat a really good team. Now, for the Ravens in this game in particular, again, I mentioned it earlier in the show that a lot of people thought the Ravens were going to lose this game. A lot of people thought that they could have won, but more in the, hey, it's going to be 33-30. That was my prediction. But the statements made so far, now, I talked about the statements in this game. Let's talk about throughout the season and just what a lot of people were saying about the team before and after the injuries to J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters. This game was kind of, I think, everything came together for them, where this was most definitely the most balanced performance that this team had in this 2021 season so far. And I had said at the beginning of the year, it's going to take time for example, with the offensive line and with the new running backs and the secondary with the injuries they were going through and the wide receivers. And I think in week one, we saw that to the fullest extent with the offensive tackles looking terrible and the offensive line in general not looking great. We saw the defense struggle and just they couldn't stop a thing. Same thing in week two, the defense really couldn't stop a lot. And I think in overtime, we knew it was going to happen if Mahomes got that ball back. Same thing in week five against Indianapolis. We knew what probably would have happened if the Colts had gotten that football back in overtime. So there are a lot of things to go through. There have been a lot of emotions so far this season. This game in particular in week six, kind of taking a step back and having the Ravens dominate the way that they did. And I don't want to understate how good of a football team the Los Angeles Chargers are this year. They are going to be a playoff team this year. They lead their division. They're going up against all of these things and all of these obstacles. I mean, all teams are this season, where regardless of if you're leading your division or if you have all the playmakers or if this or that is going your way, your teams are going to run into obstacles. This Ravens team has run into a lot of obstacles this year. But to come out with a win against this Los Angeles Chargers team that was on fire to start the year, it's just unbelievable, because going up against the team with the offense that they have, with the playmakers on defense that they have, and with everything in between, you know, Brandon Staley being a phenomenal first-year head coach, the Chargers got out-coached, they got outplayed, out-everything in this game. Again, it wasn't perfect. No win is for any NFL team. No game is for any NFL team. But how proud I am and just how resilient this team has showed that they are this year has been, it's unbelievable. You know, it's almost like I'm at a loss for words. And again, I talk about this team 5 days a week. It's just every week, whether it's a crazy finish or a dominant win, or if it is a tough loss or something of that nature, where this team has to face a bit of adversity, they bounce back really well. They never get down on each other. And I think that showed, and again, it all came together, as I talked about, it all came together in this game, because this was a Ravens team that came out hungry for a win, that knew that every week is a game that's going to come to be a huge game later in the year. Like, let's talk about the tiebreakers, where if the Ravens aren't in position to make the playoffs, or if they're just barely in that position, if they maybe have a rough stretch in the middle or in the late part of the year, tiebreakers against teams like the Chiefs and the Colts and the Chargers are going to be massive heading into the final weeks and even months of this season, even days of this regular season, especially with 17 games now instead of just the 16. So when keeping that all in mind and putting that all into consideration, I think that this Ravens team is very complete this year. Now, obviously, it would be a lot more complete if they had players like J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters and the injuries, but this is a team that can still improve and can still get healthy. They are getting healthier, but obviously the injuries to Latavius Murray and Bradley Bozeman and Patrick Queen in there as well, those aren't fun to watch, and I hope all three of those guys recover as fast as possible. But they got Rashad Bateman back. They got Tyree Phillips back. Hopefully Sammy Watkins can come back soon. Same thing with Ben Cleveland and Nick Boyle and Chris Westry and Ronnie Stanley and all these guys, Derek Wolfe, all these guys. This team still has so much potential, and while I'm not saying they're going to win every single game the rest of the season, there's just an aura around this team that really, really screams, hey, you know, we've been working for this goal and we're not going to let anything get in the way of that. And again, this game against Los Angeles, this was their statement game, because people can look at the Colts and people can look at the Broncos and whoever you want to look at, Detroit, Las Vegas, even Kansas City with the way the defense has been playing. And they could say, hey, you know, the Ravens should have beat those teams in this circumstance, or because this defense is bad, or this offense struggled, or these injuries happened in the game. Now, against Los Angeles, the argument's going to be, oh, they had the 32nd rush defense. What do you expect? Well, they have a potent offense, very good playmakers on defense. I think this is the most impressive overall win, you know, not considering crazy finishes and unbelievable records broken and all that. This was the most complete and most dominant win by this team so far in 2020. Obviously, the most dominant win. Looking ahead, though, in week seven, this team is scheduled to go on a date with the Cincinnati Bengals in week seven. The second place Cincinnati Bengals, I might add, they stand at 4-2. In second place, the Ravens are in first place in the AFC North at 5-1. Cincinnati's a good football team this year. They're not perfect. Again, their offensive line is still struggling a bit. They have some issues on the defensive side of the ball. The good offense is going to exploit. But Joe Burrow has looked great this year so far, outside of a couple of mistakes and a couple of bad games here and there. But he's looked very good overall to me. Ja'Marr Chase has come on and been a very, very solid pick for them. I mean, I know the whole Sewell versus Chase debate was a huge thing in draft season. It looks like The Bengals, they made a good pick with Ja'Marr Chase. We'll see how it ends up working out in a couple of years, but so far Chase has contributed in a big way, not to mention T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd on that offense. Joe Mixon is playing well. The offensive line, again, has struggled a bit. There are weaknesses, but, you know, they're better than last year. They have Riley Reiff, a veteran in there, who has at least been better than what Bobby Hart brought them. So there's that. On defense, Jesse Bates is there. It's the Josh Bynes revenge game, right? Josh Bynes played in Cincinnati last year, so we'll see how he plays against his former team. But yeah, Jesse Bates, who's a great player, one of the best safeties in the NFL, he's there. Logan Wilson has come on and been a really good linebacker for them. They have Trey Hendrickson. They did lose Carl Lawson, who was out for the year with the New York Jets, and William Jackson, who was with the Washington football team right now, but they have playmakers. And so this is a division game. Any division game you can't take lightly. You have to take it seriously. I mean, every game you have to, but these AFC North divisional battles, they have an extra oomph to them. So I'm excited to see how this game plays out. We'll talk about it throughout the rest of the week here on Lockdown Ravens. But overall, the Ravens moved to 5-1, beating the Los Angeles Chargers 34-6 in week 6 and asserting themselves in a very talented AFC and a very talented NFL. But that's all I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be diving into more of a recap of this Ravens week 6 win against the Los Angeles Chargers. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.